Yata. As. Trina Jaluka. Caterpillar. You know what a caterpillar is? Does everyone know what a caterpillar is? Okay. It's not a butterfly. It's before he becomes a butterfly. It's not a larva either. It's like a little tiny worm that later on makes your silk saris and dhotis for you. And you kill millions just so you can wear a silk sari. So, that's true. Iyam, this. Na apayati, does not go. Apayati, goes. Cha, also. Na, not. Chajet, gives up. Riyamanaha, at the point of death. Api, even. Prak, former. Deha, with the body. Abhimatim, identification. Janaha, a person. Yavat, as long as. Anyam, another. Na, not. Vindeta, obtains. Vyavadanena, by the termination. Karmanam, a fruit of activities. Manaha, the mind. Eva, certainly. Manusha Indra, a ruler of men. Bhutanam, of all living entities. Bhava, of material existence. Bhavanam, the cause. And I'll just read the Sanskrit, which you did the word by word synonyms for just now. But I'll read the Sanskrit for that second verse, which is text 77. Yavadanyam na vindeta, yavadane na karmanam. Mana eva manushyendra bhutanam bhavabhavanham. So translation. The caterpillar transports itself from one leaf to another by capturing one leaf before giving up the other. Similarly, according to his previous work, the living entity must capture another body before giving up the one he has. This is because the mind is the reservoir of all kinds of desires. So purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So it's a long purport. A living entity too much absorbed in material activity becomes very much attached or attracted to the material body. Even at the point of death, he thinks of his present body and the relatives connected to it. Thus he remains fully absorbed in the bodily conception of life, so much so that even at the point of death, he abhors, that means he doesn't want to, or he's disgusted with leaving his present body. Sometimes it is found that a person on the verge of death remains in a coma for many days before giving up the body. This is common among so-called leaders and politicians who think that without their presence, the entire country and all society will be in chaos. Who was Prabhupada referring to here? Anyone know? Nehru. That was Prime Minister Nehru, who was the first Prime Minister after Indian independence, that he just like remained in a coma and was so attached to remaining to this world. He was thinking, this country will not go along without me. So this is called Maya, Prabhupada says. Political leaders do not like to leave their political posts, and they may have to be shot by an enemy. Who is Prabhupada referring to there? Gandhi. Or obliged to leave by the arrival of death. By superior arrangement, a living entity is offered another body, but because of his attraction to the present body, he doesn't like to transfer himself to another body. Thus, he is forced to accept another body by the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. It's from the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text 27. Material nature is very strong, and the material modes force one to accept another body. This force is visible when the living entity transmigrates from a superior body to an inferior one. One who acts like a dog or a hog in the present body will certainly be forced to accept the body of a dog or a hog in the next life. A person may be enjoying the body of a prime minister or a president, but when he understands that he'll be forced to accept the body of a dog or a hog, he chooses not to leave the present body. Who's Prabhupada referring to there? Prabhupada's also referring to Nehru, who Prabhupada said took a dog's body in Sweden or something like that. What? Yeah, Radha Krishna also, but Prabhupada said Nehru definitely took a body in Sweden of a dog. At least it was in Sweden where the dogs are taken care of quite well. Sorry, I mean, if you tell people that, sometimes in India they get angry with you, so I'm not. But that's what Prabhupada said. Therefore, he lies in a coma for many days before death. This has been experienced by many politicians at the time of death. The conclusion is that the next body is already determined by superior control. The living entity immediately gives up the present body and enters another. Sometimes in the present body, the living entity feels that many of his desires and imaginations are not fulfilled. Does anyone have that experience? Those who are overly attracted to their life situation are forced to remain in a ghostly body and are not allowed to accept another gross body. Even in the body of a ghost, they create disturbances for neighbors and relatives. Prabhupada is so amazing. The mind is the prime cause of such a situation. According to one's mind, different types of bodies are generated, and one is forced to accept them. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, text 6, Yam Yam Bhavi, Smaran Bhavam, Yajate Ante Kalevaram, Kam Kam Ivaiti Kuntiya, Sada Tad Bhava. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Within one's body and mind, one can think as either a dog or a god, and the next life is offered to him accordingly. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, text 22. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan Haranam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. The living entity and material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. The living entity may transmigrate to either a superior or inferior body according to his association with the modes of material nature. If he associates with the mode of ignorance, he gets the body of an animal or an inferior man. But if he associates with the mode of goodness or passion, he gets a body accordingly. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, text 18. Urvam gachanti sattvasta madhyetishtanti rajasaha jaganyaguna vrittista ado gachanti tamasaha. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live in the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. The root cause of one's association is the mind. This great Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest boon to human society because it is teaching everyone to think always of Krishna by executing devotional service. In this way, at the end of life, one may be transferred to the association of Krishna. This is technically called Nitya Lila Pravishta. It means entering into the eternal pastimes. Entering into the planet Goloka Vrindavan. Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 55, explains, Vakya mam abhijanati yavanyascha smitatvataha tatumam tatpato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. After the mind is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one can enter the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan. To enter the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to understand Krishna. The process of understanding Krishna is devotional service. After understanding Krishna as He is, one can become eligible to enter Krishna Loka and to associate with Him. The mind is the cause of such an exalted position. The mind can also get one a body like those of dogs and hogs. To absorb the mind always in Krishna consciousness is therefore the greatest perfection of human life. So, yatatrana chalukeham no payatya payaticha nacha janriyamano japi pragdeha bimatim janaha yavaranyam navindeta yavadane nakarmanam mana eva manushendra bhutanam bhava bhavanam. So om gadat madandasha gananjana shakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So what Prabhupada is stressing on in this purport and the purpose of this verse is to show you that the mind or the state of the mind really determines what type of body we're going to have, what type of life we're going to have, whether we go back to Godhead or we don't go back to Godhead. So it's all the mind. So it's also described that one executes devotional service with the subtle body, which is the mind. Of course, the mind, intelligence. You don't execute devotional service with your false ego. Hopefully not. Unless you're in the modes of nature. So the question is, how does the mind function? What is the functioning of the mind? And Krishna gives us an indication in the second chapter of the Gita that the mind functions by becoming attached to different senses or sense objects. And that attachment occurs due to jayato vishayat pumsam. When you contemplate things, you contemplate sense objects. A famous verse, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, jayato vishayat pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangatsan jayate kama kama krodha vijayate kama akrodha. And then it goes down. So contemplating sense objects, lust develops, attachment develops, then lust, then anger comes bewilderment of memory, etc., etc., and then finally one is lost. So we can become attached to anything by contemplating it enough, and I've seen that. Like a little child, they don't like the taste of meat. Of course, you shouldn't give a child meat. But every parent who's ever given their child meat understands that the first time you give the child meat, he hates the taste of it, right? And then you give him it enough, and he becomes addicted or attached to the taste. And so much so that later on in life, he will not become a vegetarian. So that illustrates that particular principle. And all of you have, of course, none of you eat meat, obviously, but all of you have particular things that you're attached to particular types of food. I mean, I can go around the room and ask you, you know, what type of food do you like the most? You know, I'll ask you, Dwarf, what type of food do you like the most? All right, he's just making believe. So Mahaprabhu, what type of food do you like the most? What type of prasadam do you like the most? Right. What? Fried. Fried in oil or ghee? Ghee. He's saying that for my benefit. So that's because he likes that particular type of food because he was exposed to it a lot, and after a while he developed an attachment to it. And you see, in different parts of the world, they're attached to different types of food. I mean, for example, yesterday the devotees offered me a particular type of juice from a particular fruit. You won't mention what it was. What type of fruit was it? Does anyone remember? Anyway, and I didn't like the taste, and all the devotees were saying it's nectar. So I had to take from my plate and pour my cup and pour it into their cups, and they say, oh, thank you, Maharaj, it's just nectar. And I was going, I couldn't even stand the smell of it. Or people like, another thing is people like jackfruit juice. Anyone here like jackfruit juice? Like Prabhupada said it tastes like, it tastes like sugar cane juice that is filtered through a Muslim's beard. So just even hearing that, you don't want to take it anymore. But still, some people are very attached to different types of food because that's what they've been exposed of since they've been young. You know, they like a particular type of food. So you contemplate a sense object, and you can become attached to any, like drinking is another example, liquor. The first time people drink liquor, it tastes horrible. It's in America, the American Indians would call it fire water because it would burn the throat. You understand? But then we had one devotee who joined. It was a girl. She was an alcoholic before she joined the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, you don't have alcoholics here, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But alcoholic is someone who's addicted to alcohol, and they can't live without it. And I said, how can you stand the taste of that stuff? And she said it was like sweeter than nectar. That's because contemplate, you get attached. And people eat so many abominable things here in Fiji and in the West. Like Prabhupada was talking about people who eat lobsters. You know lobsters? Here? And Prabhupada said it's like eating pus. You can tell people that when you go to the preacher of the restaurants. Why are you eating this pus? So that's Prabhupada's words. Don't blame me. I'm not being disgusting in class. But it's Prabhupada said that. So you see, from Prabhupada's perspective, in the mode of transcendental goodness, he's seeing different tastes in different ways. And Prabhupada, of course, liked things that were sweet. And he also liked mango pickles and different things, chapatis and rice and different subjis like that. So you see, it depends on the mode of nature and what you're contemplating. Therefore, we have to be very careful what we contemplate. I mean, or with sporting games, and I use this example all the time. You know, people watch these different games, rugby or cricket, or in other countries, it's baseball, and they just become attached to it. It's actually insane. The attachment is illogical. Why would someone be attached? Because if you explain something, I probably was talking one time about golf. You have golf here, too. Actually, one of the best golfers in the world is from Fiji, right? Vijay Singh, right? So, national hero. So, one time, the devotees were driving past the golf course, and Prabhupada said, what is that? And the devotees said, golf, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, what is golf? Because at that time, golf was not that prominent in India. Now they have golf courses in India. And they also have surfing in India, too, but that's another subject matter. So, and Prabhupada said, what is that golf? And what do they do? And the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, they take a ball, a little ball, not about this small, and they keep hitting it until it goes into a hole. And whoever hits it less times wins. And Prabhupada said, you know, they're simply trying to forget Krishna. So if you do a logical explanation of any sporting game, it's just as funny. Like, of course, I don't know cricket, but I know American baseball is this. They keep throwing a ball until someone takes a piece of wood and hits it. And then they run to one of the bases. And if more people run to the home base than anyone else, then they win the game. I mean, it's so stupid, isn't it? If you actually logically describe practically anything, or even eating process that we're so attached to. One time, I was going by the prasadam room. It was just a room, wasn't outside like here. And another devotee said, just be quiet and listen to the sound of everyone eating. And it was like, huh? It was actually ridiculous. I mean, and even if you think about the eating process, you know, that how it's digested, it goes through the saliva, and you chew up with your teeth, and it goes into the belly, and then, anyway, intestines, the big intestines, the small intestines, and finally comes out in a different way. So you examine these things logically, and it just appears wild. It just appears wild. So because people get attached. That's the point I'm making. You can get attached to anything. In certain cultures, they even eat like this liquid dog. Liquid dog is like in Korea. Some of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur went to Korea to preach. And they tried to cook nice things with ghee, and people got very upset. What is this horrible smell? But they had this thing where they took all the dead animals that ever died and put them in containers, right? And after a year, there's a tap that means like a spigot. You know, the spigot is the bottom of the container, and they would put it in bottles, whatever juice came from that. And this is considered a delicacy. It's called liquid dog in Korea. And Prabhupada said that his godbrother said that any time they would remove the top of any of those containers, the whole neighborhood would smell for like a week. They couldn't stand it. So, but people were addicted to it. They loved it. It's a delicacy. They would spend so much money. Or even going through the airports. Nowadays, when you go through an airport, you have to walk through the liquor store. I don't know if any of you traveled recently overseas, but if you go to Australia, New Zealand, then just to enter the country or go out of the country, you have to walk through the liquor store. And they're selling these bottles of just alcohol for like $80, $100 a bottle, or even more. And last time I went through, they were giving away free samples. I didn't take it, don't worry. Just to get you addicted. They thought, you know, if we can give them enough free samples. And they had, you know, some attractive girl sitting there and say, free samples of vodka. And people were lined up to take their free samples. Now, if they were offering free samples of an iPad or something like that, I would have been there too. or even the electronics they have in the airport. They just put them out and let the people play with them. You see that? Like the latest thing is this, you know, the iPad thing. So the people are playing with them at the airport, and they think, I must have them, I must have them, I must have them. And then they buy it. So you let someone play with something, get attached to it, get addicted to it, and then you can sell it to them. Or like they do with even the children during the cartoon shows, that they present some product. Whether children like toys or whatever they like, they present it to them, you must have it. And the cartoon characters are selling these things. And so the children go up to their poor parents after the show and say, I must have it, I must have it, I must have it. And if they don't get it, they cry. I remember there was one child who went to a department store. It's called Walmart in the United States, you know, big, big chain. It's bigger than Tapu's here. Much bigger. They have superstores, they call them, superstores. So they went into the store and they said to their parent, I must have this. And the parent said, no, not today. And the child said, I'm not leaving the store until I get it. And then all the other customers were looking at the parent thinking, you're torturing this poor kid. Because the kid was screaming out loud, I must have it. And so the parent left the kid in the store, you know, went away for about 2 hours, came by, and the kid was still standing there. You know, I must have it, I must have it. So finally the parents said, all right, you got it, and gave in to the kid. So that's the same principle, contemplating sense objects, attachment develops, attachment comes lust, and of course then comes anger. So the question arises, what do we do about it? We have to be careful. First of all, there's two things. There's a negative and a positive. We have to be careful what we contemplate. You know, just like Ajamil. Look at poor Ajamil. He was a nice Brahmin, nice wife, nice father, and he just started contemplating upon a Shudra and the prostitute, and what we would call here a boyfriend and girlfriend. Like Prabhupada said, what you call boyfriends, or I mean girlfriends, in India we call prostitutes. There's such a high standard they had there. You understand? Because the restriction in a good society between men and women mixing is so strong. There's no question of like people like holding hands in society. When Prabhupada first brought the devotees to India, Prabhupada cautioned the devotees, don't hold hands with your wife. Even read Bhagavatam in a secluded place with your wife because people are going to criticize. Nowadays, things have changed dramatically. I mean, I go around Govardhan Hill and find boys and girls holding hands. Like it's like their romantic honeymoon. Culture has definitely changed in India. I mean, it's just amazing in the last 30 years since I've been, 34 years since I've been going to India. Previously, you wouldn't see that. You know, the men would walk and the women would walk separately from the men. Nowadays, it's, you know, hand in hand, you know, what is it? Anyway, I won't discuss. It's like a Bollywood movie right in front of you. So, Ajamil, he saw what was very rare. Prabhupada said it was rare in those days but common now. A person, a Shudra. Shudra means low-class person, not simply someone who's born in a Shudra family, but the definition Prabhupada gives of Shudra is he who laments. You know, he who is lusty, he who laments. Someone in the mode of ignorance. Someone in the mode of ignorance, I'll describe what that. That's someone whose determination never goes beyond dreaming, procrastination. He says, I'll do it tomorrow. That's a Shudra. No determination. And he sleeps a lot. You know, like after the morning program, and go to sleep for about 5 hours, gets up for prasadam, and then goes back to sleep again. Because you have to rest after taking prasadam. And then gets up again for the evening prasadam. If you're doing that, you know what you are. So, all right, so getting back to the point. So he saw the Shudra and the girl embracing. And there was, what, vermilion all over the body. They had oil smeared on the body. That's considered... In India, it's actually considered something very lusty to have oil on the body. Different cultures don't. I mean, in America, if someone has oil on the body, yuck. It's not considered nice. But in India, like if someone has sandalwood oil, that's why a sannyasi will not put sandalwood oil on his body. And this Jagannanda Pandit brought sandalwood for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, I put it on, people think I'm a sannyasi who keeps women. Like, if you go to a sannyasi and he smells like perfume, he's got trouble. So, she and he had this oil over their body and vermilion and everything. And he became so attracted just by contemplating, seeing the Shudra and the girl, he just started thinking of them day and night. I must have her, I must have her, I must have her. And because of that, he eventually accepted her as his wife. Got rid of or mistreated his good Brahmin wife, mistreated his poor father. Because one's lusty, one could do any damn thing. One could kill their own children. I mentioned that the other day, that there was a mother in the United States. She had her children in a car, had the car go into the lake, and watched her children die. They drowned. You watched the car fill up with water. Could you imagine that? And the greatest love in this world is the love of a mother for the children. You know, I see this all the time, like how Raghubhumi loves Maruti. I mean, she would kill anybody who comes, who tries to take her away, right? Is she here? No. No. Oh, there she is. Yeah, that's good. That's good, love. That's good, love. It's not bad. That's actually natural. Prabhupada liked that sort of thing. So because of lust, the woman was killing her kids. So Ajamil was doing basically the same thing to his father because of lust. And then he was 86 years old and still having babies. You know, when he should have been a great-great-grandfather, he was still producing children. I mean, lust never goes away. That's another point. It just doesn't go away. It's not that, like Prabhupada told the story about the king who brought in King asked the sage, you know, when does lust go away? The sage says, never. King didn't believe. So the sage and the king went in to see an old man with the king's daughter there. And the old man, who was dying in the hospital, getting ready to breathe his last, he was on oxygen and had drips and everything like that, he just looked at the girl. You know, he breathed his last just looking at the girl. And then he became a lady in his next life, that poor guy in the hospital. So with Jaramil, he became attached, and because of his past pious activities, of course, he was able to give his son the name Narayan, and he got saved at the end. But that's not going to happen with everybody. So, in other words, we should avoid, be very careful about what we look at. You know, you men should not be looking at some girls and saying, wow, what a nice girl. And you ladies should not be looking at men and thinking, what nice muscles he has. Because then you actually get attached, and you won't be chased anymore to your husband or your wife. So you have to really, it's like a tortoise. The example given in the Bhagavad Gita is like a tortoise. You have to pull your senses in sometimes. In other words, if there's some danger out there, you know, like sometimes we're in the car, they're driving here, and there's some pictures of some ladies on the billboards. I just, you know, I have to basically look away and go, Hare Krishna. You know, that, you have to do that. And also, another point is that we were going to mention this in class in the evening. What we have is a rule of twos, that you're never alone with someone who's the opposite sex, unless you're married to them. Because that Balavan Indri Grama, Vidvan Evihi Karshati, even if you're intelligent, you're a Vidvan, you're full of knowledge. The senses are so strong, they can take away your intelligence. You know, like Prabhupada said, men are like butter, and ladies are like fire. And what happens when you put butter and fire together? You get ghee. You know, we like grahasthas, but not ghee-hasthas. It happens. I mean, look at even important people in society. You see leaders, government officials. In America, we had one of our not temple presidents, but president of the country. He had so many encounters with ladies, and he lied about them all. And still, people liked him. That's how it shows how degraded culture is. So in other words, be very careful what you contemplate. If you happen to have been an alcoholic before, just be very careful about dealing with liquor. So we all have these particular objects of the senses. So on one hand, so let's do the positive. And the positive is we contemplate what? On Krishna's pastimes. We contemplate on the form of the Lord, on the service that we have to do for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our spiritual master. We contemplate on the deities, we meditate on the deities, and we become attached. So you become attached, you don't become lusty, but you become very, very attached, and lust goes away. So the opposite thing happens. You know, when you meditate on things connected with Krishna, the lust goes away. Like it's described, when you hear about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan properly from the right person, then it diminishes and destroys the disease of lust in the heart. So it's a question of what you contemplate. You want to look at someone beautiful, that's okay. He and she are on the altar, not on the street. You want to eat something nice, that's all right. Eat prasadam. Or you smell the incense, or you want to do something nice, take care of the temple, clean the temple, do something nice like that. So this is the secret for retraining the mind. The mind has to be trained, and it requires a lot of exercise, just like if one is exercising the body to train it up, to do some physical activity, like these sporting games, they have to train tremendously. You may see them playing one game, but most of the time they're training. Isn't it? I mean, how early in the morning do these people wake up? They wake up in four. And what do? They run. They do jumping jacks. They do push-ups. They do practice things. So they spend 1 hour. How many hours is a game? They spend 2 hours at a game and probably 100 training. It's probably that ratio, like 2 to 100. So it's the same thing with us. We have to spend a lot of time training the mind. The mind is the worst friend of the conditioned soul and the best enemy. So it requires training, or as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, beating the mind with a cane or with shoes. And really, really being careful what you contemplate. So any questions or comments about these things?
What training would be a similar, but it would be on the whatever we do,
yeah.
Because we'll be only taking once when we leave our body.
That's right. Yeah, we only get one game. There's only one World Cup. And that's the time of death. And if you don't train it up properly, you lose. You don't even get a silver medal. You get a pig's body. You have to be careful. It's just like we have this story of Bharat Maharaj. He wasn't careful. I mean, he was a good devotee. Bharat Maharaj is a million times better than probably any of us in this room. Yet he was a little, let's say, not attentive, and he started contemplating on the little baby deer. And what happened? Next life, he was a deer. So that can happen to any of us. You know, you read a story, that story is not just for him, it's for you. Why is a story there in the Bhagavatam? For you, so you can understand something. I mean, I sometimes see devotees with pets in their house and everything like that, and I'm feeling so much anxiety for them. That they'll become a dog or what are the type of pets? They have spiders in their house. And they don't have pet cockroaches. But all sorts of pet tarantulas. I know one person has a you know what a tarantula is? It's a big hairy spider that comes from South America. And so they have these pets in their house, and they're just contemplating, they're talking to them, they're giving their loving propensity to the... Like Prabhupada said, we have a loving propensity. We don't give it to Krishna, G-O-G, it gets given to D-O-G. And they're just giving their heart to it. They come home at night and they say, oh, pussycat. You know, whatever the cat's name. That's not their wife's name, you know, that's the name of the cat. Oh, and then they just put the cat or the dog on their lap and they scratch, you know. And they're serving dog, you know, they just... The dog turns over and they scratch his belly like this. Yeah, yeah, and then they yell at them, hey, Krishna, come here! Roll over, Krishna! Get my newspaper, Krishna. You know, so that's all right. I mean, so at least they're chanting Krishna's names, but it's interesting how people contemplate and become attached to animals. Very dangerous. Wherever your heart is, that's where you're going in your next life. Whatever you're giving your heart to, that's what you'll get. Yeah. Yeah, well, we got different, more varieties within the 8,400,000. Brahmanda, Brahmate, Konna, Bhagyuan, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Bhai, Bhakti, Lata, Beach. The living entity is wandering, and finally he gets the Bhakti Lata Beej from his guru. And then he starts contemplating material sense objects again. Pretty foolish, isn't it? So that's what we're doing. Just be careful. Contemplate. Krishna is so nice. You become so attached, you become addicted to Krishna. I remember there was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, his name was Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And he would not talk about anything other than Krishna Katha. I mean, you come to him, you tell him some problem, you say, Maharaj, I have some problem. He would just go, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. He'd start laughing. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. And then you forget about your problem then. Isn't it? So that's the sort of thing we need. You know, of course, we have to be practical. in this world, but we should be so addicted to Krishna that we cannot live without Krishna at the top. Yeah.
Follow this pattern,
Nam,
Guru, Guru, then
Lila. Yeah.
So if we have not qualified
in
here.
No, but that's what's revealed to you as you progress. The name, of course, comes first, and then the Rupa, Guna, and then Lila come after that. But you could, it's not that you avoid the Lila until you understand the Guna. I mean, if the Leela has been presented by His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada, it's certainly for us. And you become attached to it. You should become attached to hearing Krishna book. How many of you have finished? I'm not going to ask. Maybe I should ask. How many people here in this room have finished reading Krishna book, have read every story in Krishna book? Okay, about half, 50%. That's not good. It's really not good. And that's after so many years in the Hare Krishna movement. Go, cool, you should read Krishna book. Well, how?
Half.
Okay, how many years have you been in the Hare Krishna movement? 90 years in the Hare Krishna movement. I know, he's at 9. 9 years. I had read the whole Krishna book by the time I was in the movement, 2 months, 3 months. 2 months, I think. So we should be greedy for here. And if you don't know how to read, I have MP3s I can give you with all the readings of the Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what else? Chaitanya Bhagavat. Take advantage. I mean, what are we here for? We're not here just to work. It says, Shama Evhi Kevalam. Even if you're working very hard, doing everything nicely, taking care of the deities nicely, and you're not developing an attachment for hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's like spinning the wheel. This is like last night we were in a car, and Sumukha backed up, and because there were people sitting in the back, the wheels were just spinning. Right? He backed up in the wrong place. And then so he had to ask the people to get out of the car. So when the wheels are spinning, you're not going anywhere. So if we're not becoming more attracted and attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna, we're not going anywhere. You understand? We're not going anywhere. We're not making progress. It's not just simply that we work hard. We have to work with the mind. That was the point Prabhupada is making in the verse, that devotional service is executed with the subtle body. So we do work hard. I mean, we should work hard. But however, the mind must be absorbed in Krishna. The standard of pure devotional service is you act externally, not just with your mind, but you do action for Krishna, you do action the way Krishna wants you to do, and you do it focusing on Krishna with a sense of devotion, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. So that's why hearing and chanting regularly and being absorbed in the pastimes is very important. I can't stress that enough. Krishna's pastimes. And Lord Ram's pastimes too. If you're a Ram Bhakta, Lord Ram's best. Hanuman's best. And you pick. You can choose. There's plenty of variety for everybody. Like different flavors of ice cream, right? So there's different flavors of the Lord's pastimes. Or Lord Narsingha's pastimes, or Lord Varaha's pastimes, or had so many, Lord Matsya, Lord Kurma. It's so nice. And if you like sports, just listen to Krishna killing the demons. It's a lot more interesting than kicking a ball around. When heads get cut off, it's a lot more interesting than kicking a ball around through a goal post, right? Okay, we have to end. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.